start with question number one. What are your priorities for children's ministry in order of importance?
You want to take that first?
Man, I submit to the local church pastor. Let me see here. Am I dialed in here?
You might have.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Well, I think that as far as the teaching of the word is concerned, that you need a kind of a systematic overview, which is solved, I think, through the catechism or through like a Kids for Truth program, where you're kind of defining the big grand themes of the Bible. I think that survey is important. I think a lot of, like, what do you do here for Sunday school?
Well, I think, I'm going to piggyback off the system idea. I think what we really need for children's ministry is a scope and sequence to what we're doing. Like, I mean, how many teachers do we have in the room? Other children's and otherwise, just a teacher in mind, right? When you go through it, even let's just use an academic model and then come back to the church.
Like, yeah.
In an academic model, you'd say, okay, to get this child from first grade to second and second to third and so on, there are milestones they have to meet with math and science and English and stuff, so on, history, and you're trying to move them one thing to the next. Well, as a church, we're blessed to be able to have primary meeting times. And, you know, Wednesday night is one. We've certainly spoken about that on Kids for Truth. But it's not the only one. We also have Sunday school. We also have children's church. And we may add other special events like a VBS, right, throughout the year or whatever, go to camp, a junior camp. Well, we want to have a scope and sequence to that so that each of those ministries has a particular purpose that the other ministry is not stepping on the toes of. Right? If the math teacher in your school is teaching math, then the history teacher shouldn't also be teaching math, lest the only thing that child knows is math, right? So if we're going to do, for example, Kids for Truth is wonderful at scripture memory. This is a class that I always use with children's ministries. That's a wonderful example. Midweek services have, for eons, been memory work. What does that mean for memory work for growth group hour? Well, for one, they're not allowed to do memory work. Why? Well, that's midweek's job, right? That's what they're working on. Now, you have a different purpose for growth group hour. What about children's church? Well, likewise, they have a different focus. So what other things can the growth group hour and the children's church hour do to build fully rounded children in that time that meets the scope and sequence for each particular ministry having a specific focus? And if you can ask that question and say the focus of midweek service is, and you fill it in, you can answer that question with a sentence, then you know you have a good target you're shooting at. If you can't answer my question in the sentence, then you know you have a problem. So if I say, your children's church purpose is, and you have to think about it for a moment,
yeah.
Well, that's a problem, right? If you say, your growth group or your Sunday school hour's purpose is, and you have to think about it for a moment, that's a problem. So the chief goal would be to first have a scope and sequence, or as you use the word,
sure,
systemized.
Yeah, I think harkening back to the Tri-City days, Pastor, because we sat down and we thought about this, that we came up with three things that we wanted the kids to be exposed to weekly, and we accomplished them in the different programs. So Sunday school was kind of that overview of the narrative, right, and living in the Bible stories. Going through the Old Testament, always trying to keep in front of our Sunday school teachers, though, the big unifying theme of Scripture, which is Christ. Don't be guilty of moralizing or just hero worship. Make sure your lessons always get back to Jesus. Kids for Truth was more of the systematic theology, the big, you know, what do Christians believe and why do they believe it? The gold nuggets of Christianity. And then our junior church was basically preaching an application. And junior church was a time where we would also be actively recruiting people, because I feel like children's ministry is a great opportunity to put your arm around younger Christians in the church and just expose them to the glories and joys of ministry. I was just talking with a brother about when God allows you to see the aha moment in that little boy or that little girl, and it's like, that's addictive. Like, I want more of that, you know, because it's like, that's fruit from my labors. I was putting them in the way, by teaching them the truth, and then they got it. So that was the model we used at Tri-City. And in junior church, we used that as an active discipleship platform for godly teens and college students. And Pastor, I was told me, Bob, much rather have a racehorse I got to rein in and a mule I got to kick, but I got to rein you in, brother. I can remember 5 meetings like that. But man, sometimes I go to church and I'd always sit in the back and I'd just be looking at the backs of heads. Because I didn't want to recruit for children's ministry like this. You know, I didn't want to be like the general Armenian call of, well, the second grade boys just did in Mrs. Whippleheimer. Who will come? Who will stand in the gap? When it came to recruiting for children's ministry, I did want to be Calvinistic. I wanted to elect them. Yeah. So I would go and I would seek out, and if, you know, there's people in the ministry today, Pastor Hercher, because we put their arm around them when they were 16, 17 years old and taught them how to share the gospel to a small group of boys and girls. So I love using junior church for that. And then just the applicational, because at some point you have to apply the preaching and teaching you're getting the rest of the week.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good.
I'm on. Okay. I have question number 2 and 3 are somewhat similar, so I'm going to read through both of them. I'm going to abbreviate some. So if you propose either of these questions, don't be offended. I'm not trying to cut out information, but it's helpful for them having direction on the answer. I'm concerned that if children are not in at least one main service a week, how will they ever learn to be part of the corporate group of believers in a service? Is there some point where it might be good to train young parents how to train their children to sit in church? So the second question kind of incorporates that as well. Their idea is, when you start having children sit in the auditorium service, how do you transition elementary kids to youth group, and how do you transition youth group teens to be plugged into the college ministry, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. How do you want them to transition?
So that's a great question, and it really gets to the heart of what your local church is as far as its philosophy. And I humbly attempted to do that today with Psalm 78 and some of these other passages of Scripture. So there are churches that have as the sum and substance of their children's ministry philosophy that it is preparation for ultimate big church. I would say, based on the scriptures that I taught out of today, that I don't arrive at that as the sum and substance of a children's ministry philosophy. I think it would be helpful to have the metaphor of Thanksgiving dinner, where you have the adult table, and then you have the kid table. What are they eating at the kid table? Same thing, they're eating at the adult table, only in smaller bites. Mom comes and cuts it up, right? And so I think the best way to prepare them for big church is by feeding them the same stuff that they're going to get someday in big church, and they develop a taste for Jesus. And they have an awareness of when they're not getting Jesus. This has recently happened at my Slavic church, and I praise the Lord for it, because oftentimes in Slavic culture, you'll have guest speakers that come, and then, you know, you've heard the expression blow in, blow up, blow out, right? We've had fundamentalist preachers that have done that, and Slavic culture is no different. And we recently had a guy that came in, blew up, you know, took a text and had a fit, you know what I mean? Very little Jesus. And I had so many people come to me after 4 or 5 years of ministry there after that and talk about there was something wrong. We're not real, you know, I'm not sure what it was, or some were sure what it was. So I think that the best way to prepare kids for ultimate behavior in big church is first and foremost to make sure they're going to know the taste of what they're supposed to get fed in big church. There's love languages of children. There's ways to communicate to children. So when I'm speaking to a diverse crowd that includes children, I will often try to have two or three little seasonings within the sermon that's just for them. All right? And I speak directly to them. But it's so much easier if I am just with them the whole time. And I'm building a relationship with them. And I'm speaking on their level. And I'm communicating things that I know they resonate with. I think one of the ways we do that is through stories. Your personal story, as boring as you may think it is, boy, it's not. There's so many bridges that you can build with that, with boys and girls. I think with kids, you have to think in more bite-sized nuggets. It's difficult, unless I'm at camp, to preach a 45-minute message. Because at camp, I have the luxury of having their, you know, seven kids with one trained counselor. Now that is utopian children's ministry, amen? You know, I don't have that with my Slavic kids. Slavic kids, I have 90 kids and one worker if I'm lucky. And he's like, okay, brother, love you, good. All right, bye. You know, so, you know, he doesn't want to sing deep and wide. Got other thought. So there are limitations, right? And I think one of the, and because of that, we have to condescend to where they're at their age level, and in this culture. And you're speaking their language, and you're speaking their love languages, and I'm using things, not as bribery. Like, I used candy for a long time, and then I had some well-meaning church ladies inform me that I was poisoning their children. So, this past year, I've given out polished stones. I've got the box of polished stone, you know. And man, there's amethyst and quartz and all kinds of cool stuff in there. So that's a love language. That's something children speak. It's like, oh, the rock. Cool. You know, and what does that mean? Big Bob is saying, what I'm going to say is so important that I spent money on these goofy rocks that are pretty and shiny, because I know it might help you pay attention a little bit longer. And those are like luxuries you don't get in a congregational service. At least I don't think you do it like that. If you do, I'm here on Sunday. That's going on YouTube. But I just think those, when you have the kids, you can make more progress. You can gain some real traction, because you're speaking their language directly. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, and we have a unique factor here in our ministry, especially with the special needs school that will continue to go. So it'd be difficult for me to say it's at this age level or this grade, because it may differ for certain of our special friends. And so we want to be careful that we don't say, well, here's the cutoff, and then you go into the adult church. Well, that may differ depending on our special friends that we have even down here. And we need to be a ministry that's cognitive of that. And by declaring a grade, we may not be aware of their needs as well. The other thing I'm always marking back is one of the first camps I preached at, and I think I talked to you about it afterwards. Bob and I have shared Wild Weeks, I don't know how many times, at junior camp. And normally I feel ill-prepared. Because he'd take Thursday or something, and I'd be like, I don't know why I didn't give you the rest of the week. But but when I came back to the first week, I spoke at junior camp. I'd spoken at a camp in a different state. I won't even say the state, lest you guess which camp it is. And it had a rustic kind of chapel feel, and an older, seasoned pastor was wanted to make sure that those young folks, they understood the great hymns of the faith. So Monday night, they passed out hymnals to all the kids and made sure that all the kids in this rustic outdoor chapel knew how to hold hymnals and sing, "O Great Thou Art," and all of these very deep things. And we sang about eight or more before Monday's chapel, and they've all traveled in from camp. By the time I get up and they introduce me to speak, those poor kids were just falling out of their chairs bored. I'm like, and now I'm supposed to speak to this group? I mean, thanks. You know, and he did that Monday night. He did that Tuesday night. He did that Wednesday night. And finally, I just, I kind of had enough. So I said, well, can we chat just for a minute before the chapel service? So we sat down. I said, these are 8, 9, 10-year-olds. Many of them were unchurched prior to their arrival here. You're doing me no favors by doing all these deep songs. Is it all right if I just take the song service just for one night? And we did, you know, if you've ever been to junior camp at the Wilds, we did have serious songs, but there was like a transitional period and then went into it. And it wasn't until Thursday that we finally reached those kids, because we didn't have all of the stuff. And it all comes down to, are we behaviorally based, or are we building beliefs that inform behaviors? And that pastor, I think, was well-intentioned, but he just wanted good little boys and girls that knew how to sit still and sing the old hymns and be seen and not heard type of mindset.
Well, and that's, you're not aiming for conversion then. You're aiming for conformity.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to do anything within reason and Bible parameters to lift up Jesus. I want those kids to go out of there thinking bigger, better, deeper thoughts about Christ. And I think, you know, getting back to the, you know, knowing your audience, right? Like, in order to know your audience, you have to have relationships with them. And this is why I love the local church. I just love it. That's what I want to do. You know, I want to be with my church on Sunday because those are my relationships. And I know those kids, and I spend time with them and I talk to them. And that also goes to help to know when to graduate. So we do have kind of an age where we want kids to move out. But some of those kids, they're dialed in. And then there's some of those kids that they come and you know they're coming just to kind of miss the next upgrade, or they don't want to be in big church. Those are the kind of kids you want to go and have a relationship, you know, you know their parents, and you'd have that discussion with them. Hey, I think Eli's ready. You know, I've recently had conversations like this. Like, I think he needs to be with you. I love him. I love having him in there, but you know what? It's time. So I think that's part of the role of just the church leadership.
Well, and the lessons are just as meaty as the adult lessons. I think sometimes we think that, well, what's going on in the adult service is more doctrinally verse by verse than what the children are getting. And that cannot be. Well, if it is true, that's too bad. I think we've joked before, some people ask, what commentaries do you look at to prepare a children's sermon? And I say, the same ones as I look at for
absolutely.
The adults. Like, they're not a different
yes.
one. Yeah.
And there's, well, boy, and that's a whole another line of discussion. And I was just telling my Slavic church a few Sundays ago when I preached congregationally, I was trying to show them how to find verses in the New Testament that show that Jesus was the subject of the Old Testament. And I said, now folks, I'm a Bible scholar. I went to Bible college. I have a seminary degree. Listen to me. Here's what you do. You go to google.com. And then you type in verses that, and then it starts to get, and they're all giggling, you know, they're laughing. But you have such a wealth. I mean, blueletterbible.org. Wow! You could spend 10 lifetimes on that free website studying the commentaries, the interlinear, the reverse interlinear, BibleStudyTools.com. These are huge assets. Just think of the light that we have contrasted with, you know, people during John Tetzel's age. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. So,
yeah, right.
What is the best way to help saved but apathetic preteens to grow in their desire for Christ?
Man, I want them to hear it, and I want them to see it in me. I think I even apply this with my own daughter. Like, I teach my daughter truth. We talk about truth in the car, but I want to live it. I want her to see me joyful on Sunday. I want her to see me joyful on Saturday when I say, man, we need to go be with our beloved Russians to do some Red Dawn Baptist ministry. You know, I wanted to hear it in my voice. I'm excited about serving the Lord and what He's done for me. And I think a lot of it is caught, not taught. Okay. I had a 7th grade English teacher named Jack Shea. I was a junior higher, first day. Get in. He sits up on his desk. He gets his big brown book. And he begins reading free verse poetry to junior highers. And we're like, what? Like, should we tell the principal? We've never been exposed to anything like that ever. But something happened because Jack Shea loved poetry and authors, and we began to catch that. And I want to share with you the fruit of that is at the end of the semester, I'm out there on the recess with 3 other boys, and we're on that piece of playground equipment where there's like 4 animals. And then there's this big spring-loaded trap there. And so everybody is riding on one of those, like there's a duck and a tiger, and its ears are like handles. Has anybody ever seen this? Yeah. And I'm like, guys, I wrote my final poem. It's called The Last Leaf. It's about the final leaf that hangs on. All the leaves fall. And it goes like this, you know, and I'm quoting rhyming poetry to fellow 7th grade junior hires. Brothers and sisters, that is not normal. So what makes the difference was the teacher. You caught it. Like, and I really think the best way is like, you send the apathetic kid to camp so they're around a fiery hot counselor that's getting up early and praying and going down by the river and just begging God to do something, you know? And just having them exposed to those kind of people. So,
well, we all have our favorite. We all remember at least 2 teachers from when we were little.
Right.
The mean one. Right? And the fun teacher. And I would venture to guess that in all of our lives, it is the fun teacher that we learn more from. And that is true in children's ministry as well. It's caught better than taught.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be captain personality.
No.
So, do you remember Brother Dabbs?
Oh, yes.
So he had about, I don't know how far this recording is going to go.
I'm just glad the stool is spring-loaded and just launching.
So maybe God used you, Brother Dabbs. But like, the personality of a carrot. But the 6th grade boys loved him.
He loved them, that's right.
And I would just go walk, and I would just walk through the window in his class. And he was just very metered and level in his speech. But those boys were just dialed in to Brother Dabbs. So, you know, I think the key ingredient that kids pick up on, like they have the radar. Like, does this person want to be with me? This person want to be here.
Great. Glad we get all these stories from Bob, too. I'm also thankful your stool is spring-loaded. I feel like it just kind of launches your back up.
I need it.
On to the next one. I think this person has a good question. I think they eventually got to the core of their question. So the last question is the one you want to answer. Are there any sacred cows within the children's ministries that a children's worker should be aware of? Are there any hidden issues that tend to resurface or frequently become a barrier to the success of a church? Of a church's children's ministry? Basically, what are the main problems you find that are often faced in children's ministries?
Okay, so the first thing that comes to my mind is just children's workers feeling like they're on an island.
And the idea of, okay, if the kid didn't die this week, good deal, you know. And one of the things that I think you're constantly having to think about is just the edification of the children's ministry workers, that you're part of a team that has a united goal. You're having these meetings a few times a year where you, like this, where you, like, this is good. Like, you're, by God's grace, you're going to go away from this energized. And because you have deeper roots into the whys of what you do, or why you do what you do. So I think that is one of the critical things of a church, especially this size, is you've got to be thinking about just connecting with the people that are in the Sunday school rooms and ministering to the kiddos. And just, you're not, we don't want you to die on the vine. Like, we're for you. And how can we serve you? How can we help you? Are you growing? Are you growing? Because we don't want you to just, you know, the church is designed to disciple and to grow believers. And part of that happens through opening up doors of opportunity. But you just don't close the door once you shove them in there, you know. And practically that's what happens so often. So I think being concerned and then doing things to ensure that we're pouring back into the people that are pouring out to our children is a big deal.
Well, and to use the word burnout for that reason. You know, you get a mission. How often have you seen like a teacher gets plugged in, like you talked about the Mrs. Whomever that is now done in second grade, and now the boys did her over, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens. So, like, you plug them in, and then they are that Sunday school teacher for here until they die or they burn out. That's pretty much the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no rotation there. There's no training for future teachers in that room. It's just you're the teacher in that room, and you are the teacher in that room every week for the rest of the year, and for every year until you tell us you can't do it anymore. And what you're doing is, well, number one, you're hurting that person's ministry, because the one part of that person's ministry ought to be discipling someone else who can also do it. So if you're not encouraging that teacher to say, now, who else can teach? I've really valued of late, I've seen it observed, and probably Bob would say the same thing. I don't have original ideas. My creativity is just stealing my and hiding my sources, right? That's how I am. But my dad's church, for the last several years, their children's pastor has taken it upon himself to say all Sunday school teachers have the summer off for children. And they're not allowed to teach that class during the summer. And then they have a whole new group of teachers that come in and teach that class during the summer. Right, that is one way. I mean, that's not the only way, but that is one way to say, you know, we're training up people, and we don't celebrate you taught that class for 50 years, but we're really concerned if something happened to you, because after those 50 years, we got no replacement, and oh no.
Yeah.
I mean, that often happens in children's ministries, and that's the other part. Not only is it burnout, but children's ministries become personality-driven for that reason. It's like, well, as long as I have this teacher in the class, I'm good. And then that teacher, you know, becomes an island to him or herself and doesn't really have any idea of what's going on in the classes below or ahead. Amen. So they're not, you know, let's say you teach third grade. Well, if you're teaching third grade, I hope you know what's being taught in second grade, because you're going to get those second graders here in a year. And I hope you know what's going to be taught in fourth grade, because you're going to be training them to go into the fourth grade class. So
one other thought before we move on, and that is, I think that the children's ministry gives you an awesome bridge back to the parents.
Mm.
Whenever those kids do something good, man, make a beeline for mom and dad right after the service and just let them know. You're just so thankful. You've seen some growth. You're making deposits. This little boy who's just had a pretty rough streak in our ministry at my church. And the other week, I said, what's another name for the Torah? And he goes, Pentateuch? And I'm like, I was blown away that came from him. And after church, I went to his mom, and I just said, Mom, your boy answered one of the hardest questions today. And she started crying. So I think those kind of relationships just go so far within the body. Because you get moms and dads on your side. You get moms and dads on your team
And then you can plow a little bit deeper, I think.
Well, and to jump off that, just as an aside application, be careful how you correct the child when you go tell that to the parent. Right? You've had the child for an hour or whatever in that group, and let's say they misbehaved. And so they come pick up the child, and you go give the whole story within earshot of all the other parents. Right? Mm-hmm. And how often have we, I've seen that happen many, many times. And now that happens 2 weeks in a row, 3 weeks in a row. And it, you have to communicate that with mom and dad, but there are ways to build bridges that don't push mom and dad away. And, you know, that will happen, that you have to have some kind of correction. But be careful how that's communicated. Sometimes if you can praise after there's been some negative, that can go a long way.
Yeah, and remember, folks, we're not politicians. Mm-hmm. We don't have to cover up all of our imperfections. So let's be very candid here. Sometimes God uses your mistakes. So I'm just going to be very candid here. There's a sweet boy, eighth grader, that I've been ministering to at our church. And he's had some tough struggles at home, and his parents shared with me something in private that they had withheld from him. Mm-hmm. And I was in teen group doing a guest sermon there that one night, and he was just being a bad boy. He was just being wiki-wiki bad dad. And I got in a flash, and I said, it's no wonder your parents did it, did it, did it, did it. Don't judge me, okay? I feel it. I've repented. And I made a beeline right after that was over. And I what got with him, and I said, I sinned against you. I said, I was wrong to do that. And then I sat down with him and his parents, and I said, here's what just happened. And, you know, God used that, actually. God used that. Because they saw, okay, Big Bob of us, he sends two. Cool. You know. And that awesome in the Bible, you look at sinners, and they're like, oh, awesome, there's hope. You connect with Peter. You connect with those guys. And so don't be afraid, I think. You be you, and when you mess up, I think you just humble yourself and let the chips fall where they're going to fall.
For time's sake, I'm going to have us answer this question.
Okay.
The material, there are a couple of questions about the priesthood material. Pastor Caleb and I will make sure that we communicate very clearly to all those teachers that there is material provided to help you with lesson time.
Yep.
So Pastor Caleb and I will communicate to the preschool teachers.
I'll just speak to that, how we got it, because I did the question. There were three questions related to the preschool material for Kids for Truth, and their understanding of those questions is that all they had was the main book that was given to them. They weren't given a thing. Unfortunately, that is all you were given, but there is more. How many work in Kids for Truth? All right. If you do not know about Equip You, and you are not logged in with an access right now, you need that before you start the new year. That has all the resources available to you. But I took the questions that were submitted related to the preschool material, and I sent them to Marina, who is... Do you want to tell who Marina is?
Marina is like Miss Kids for Truth at RBP. Yeah, so she helped hold the hand. I think she was with you guys 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I saw the questions. I was like, there's no way Kids for Truth National doesn't have a preschool book. So I sent it to her and said, here's the questions we're getting. And she said, do you have access up to, and she named the book, and Jordan has it now. And I brought Jordan in, and Jordan said, no, we don't have that book right now. Yeah. So you will this year. Unfortunately, that must have been an oversight. But preschool workers, please do not rewrite your own material. There is a reason Kids for Truth has been chosen. It's been chosen because it graduates from the young grades all the way up. If you're doing your own thing, you're not helping the next grade, speaking of scope and sequence. So please do not rewrite your own material. Please stay within the scope and sequence. And there is a preschool level available to you. Yes.
Yes. I don't want to get in trouble here.
Yeah.
But I would say if you're using those lesson plans and trying to fit everything into a preschool lesson, you have complete permission, I think, to not do that. To just use it as a guide you know, highlight the bold things, maybe attach a personal story or illustration that's going to be on their level. But, you know, it's not, it's a guide. It's the spirit of the guide, not the letter of the guide, especially with preschoolers.
And again, just to, some of you probably, even if you're not in Kids for Truth, we'll send you out a link to it. That Equip You site is Access. Marina kind of runs it. All of those, how many churches are involved in Kids for Truth again now?
I love it.
They all kind of can submit materials that have been helped to them into that database. So all of the lessons, there's PowerPoints already done for all the lessons. There's crafts that have already been completed for all those lessons. There's fun activities that they do in their Kids for Truth that might work for you. It is an incredible wealth of resources. And then for parents, there's devotionals that come out. You can get the podcasts that come out every day during the week that prepare you ahead of time for Wednesday night. So if parents aren't accessing that, you should as well. It'll be preparing it. You can listen to it in the car. You can listen to it for your evening devotions or morning devotions. It is more than you will ever be able to get to the bottom of as far as resources. So if you feel like you're out on an island and I don't know what I'm supposed to teach, and I feel like I'm rewriting everything every time, well, then you're just not accessing the database that is available to you. So all of our Kids for Truth workers, please, please, please get yourself logged into equipyou.com, which I think it's .com, whatever. We'll send out the link. I'll put it in my newsletter. You have a treasure trove there at your fingertips. And it's actually, I bring it up to this room because it's actually more than you can imagine. And it's not just Kids for Truth. Like, it's just tons of children's resources. So you want that. You really want that. Jordan?
All right, we have 7 minutes and seven questions.
Okay.
Less than a minute. I'm just going to ask one. There's a question about parent involvement, and I'm just going to ask the simplest question that was submitted. What is the clearest and best way to get parents involved in our children's ministries?
Oh, I go back to this. I was always bugging you. I said, it's got to come from the top down. The pastor's talking.
You just did it Tuesday. Pastor Caleb just did it.
Okay. But I would, pastors are busy, and what I would do is I would give him 3 to 5 talking points, and I'd say, Pastor, can you say this? Because the children's workers need to know that they are part of the body, and they're, you get what you honor. So I want to honor the children's workers by letting them know from the top down in the main congregational service how important their role is and how on board pastor is with the philosophy. I think that is like the biggest no-brainer as far as getting parents on board. Just have the senior pastor saying the same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, and to be clear on what, like, you'll notice, if you haven't already, we will certainly notice it on Sunday. We as, myself, kind of taking a lead on this, but just saying, okay, now when we do announcements, and I do think announcements are important. I give account, by the way, as your pastor, for what's said behind the pulpit. I will give an account before the Lord for what's said behind the pulpit Sunday by Sunday.
Mm.
That includes, in my view, announcements. Until last week, I wasn't involved in announcements. Now I am. I've inserted myself to the forefront. And the reason for that is I want to make sure that what is being communicated is pertinent to the life of this body.
Mm.
There are a lot of things that can be said that are announcements, but aren't necessarily going to help you or your family grow. They're just good. That can be put in the bulletin, that can be put in the growth group memo. But there are other things that are pertinent, and that may be events, that may be things that are happening, but they're pertinent to the life of the body. And everything that's announced moving forward, I wrote. Because I think I will give an account. There are things I can delegate out. I can delegate that out, and I will. There are other things I feel like I shouldn't delegate out, and those things that I will give a direct account before the Lord for, I don't think I should be delegating out. And I would add announcements to one of those things. And so you'll find yourself hearing more children's ministries announcements at times, and that's because, well, I wrote it. So yeah. I can tell you what's announced on Sunday, but you have to come back on Sunday. But I do know one of them is the children's choir. I put that one on there. I think there's a few others. But those things are really pertinent and important. But it's part of the life of this body. As far as I'm concerned, I just want to let you know, I want to be very clear about this. This is the best church in town And this is the best children's ministry in America.
Mm.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's true. And if you don't agree, then come help us be that. Right? So that's what we want to do. So we want to be excited about it. Yeah.
All right. What are some elements of children's ministries you feel we're currently doing well? And what are some elements you see opportunity for growth and improvement?
Bob, you want to take this?
You guys are the best children's ministry in America!
There we go. Thank
or so
you.
I've been told.
Yeah. I'm actually appreciative of Kids for Truth. It's interesting, and Jordan, you might want to chime in on this, because in Indianapolis, I was a youth pastor, and while I was a youth pastor, they had no midweek program for kids. So I had a youth group that was, I think we had about 70 at the time, and I was looking down the hall and I was thinking, there's nothing really for kids. My youth group, who's about 70, is about to go down substantially over the years if we don't do something for those children. So I went to our pastor, Pastor Erwood, and said, would you be okay with me researching children's programs and us starting a midweek program? And he said, I've been waiting for the day that you would come into my office and ask that question. And he said, that was on my docket to ask you to do next year, but you jumped the gun. Go ahead. So what I did is I researched every midweek program that's out there. And I bring him in because he has my paper on it. It was like a 40-page paper. It wasn't that long. But it was a long paper on it, and I think I researched, do you remember, I was 12, whatever?
Many.
Many, as many as I could find.
Deep research.
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah. So I've researched several, a lot of them, you know, threw away almost from the beginning, and then I did a more substantial research on Master Clubs, Awana, Kids for Truth, and Truth Trackers. The others, even ones that we're using here, like Patch Club, I helped write some of the Patch Club materials. I'm not a big fan of Patch Club. It was written as a choir book. It's not very good as far as materials, and I've told Majesty Music that. They know that. I wouldn't encourage our continued use of it. Sorry, those that are using it. But I did a deep research on Awana, Kids for Truth, Master Club, and Truth Trackers, and we came to the conclusion in Indianapolis that we were going to use Kids for Truth, and after that full study. And the reason we did that is because we felt like it was the best at building bridges to families, and it was the best at helping us having a central hub from which all the other children's ministries can be the spokes. So you have a doctrinal hub in the midweek, and then all the other children's ministries can be the spokes off of that main hub. And we felt like that was a really good ministry tool. Then I became a pastor in Florida, and they didn't have Kids for Truth. They used Awana. Now, I know this is being recorded, but I've sent a letter to Awana about this so they know. As far as I'm concerned, the only value to Awana is the name, because everybody knows it, and their award system. Our church in Florida wrote everything else. So nothing else about Awana you would recognize other than the uniforms and the awards for our church in Awana. It just didn't really have a bunch of value to everything else. You say, what did we use for the meat? We did, I don't know if RBP feels about this. We did Kids for Truth material with the Awana name. Now, sorry, Bob. Yeah. Now, the reason we did that is I inherited a church with Awana, and it was known in the community, and we had a lot of unsaved people coming. In fact, our Wednesday nights in Florida were bigger than our Sunday mornings.
Wow.
So we had about 350 coming to Sunday morning, so you can add that up on Wednesday night. And we had way more coming on Wednesday night, and that was our evangelistic thing. I preached to adult groups. Every time I preached to an adult group on Wednesday, I knew about 25 to 30% of that audience was unsaved, unchurched. So, just so you know, it's different than our ministry. I think I left behind, Camelot there for a moment. I don't know if I'll ever have a church like that again. I'd love to. I know a lot of churches do prayer meetings on Wednesday nights. We didn't, because we had a lot of unsaved people. I mean, they weren't even saved. We just need to give them the gospel. We do our prayer times to 5 o'clock on Sunday before the evening service. Mm-hmm. And we kept the Awana name because it was known and respected by unsaved, unchurched people. Yeah. As far as the material itself, we were pretty much just using Kids for Truth. So anyways, the long story is, what is the strength? I still believe the same, because I've used it now in three ministries. It's the Kids for Truth program. It gives us a hub on which we can hang spokes for all the other ministries. As far as the other ministries are concerned, right now, it's a little bit the book of Judges. You know, it just kind of depends. Every class kind of does that, which is right in their own eyes. Which is okay in some sense. Some of them are really good. I'm sure everybody, I'm confident everybody that's doing what they are doing it as best they can to the glory of God. I'd say that our weakness is kind of pulled off of our strength. Our strength, yeah, we have a hub. Our weakness is, I'm not entirely sure that the growth group teachers really know what's being taught at Kids for Truth. I think that's a pretty big weakness. I'm not entirely sure that all our children's church workers know that's what's being taught in the growth group. And I'd say that's actually a pretty big weakness, because we actually all are working on the same team. So if you're part of the children's ministry, you should know everything that's being taught by everybody else, and we should have meetings such as this one to get all on the same page. So that's a, but that, as I say, a weakness, I want you to be encouraged by that. That's an easy weakness to fix, is it not?
Yes.
Like, it just talk, right? Just communicate with one another, and we can get on the same page and move forward and be excited about it. And I'm excited about the possibility, because that's, as far as weaknesses are concerned, there's worse.
Yeah,
so sure. That's a good thing.
I mean, folks, just from an outsider perspective, to have this treasure trove of people with a heart for children in one place come out on Saturday and now give 3 hours and 2 minutes. I mean, that's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift of grace. You're a gift to the body. And there's a lot of traction that could be made here.
I think that most of our questions have been answered in some way or other. People asking, what does the future of our children's ministry look like? And I think Pastor Caleb did give us some vision on even just the organization of it and clear communication. The final question is probably going to be a question that Matt Moser or Eleanor Moser would be able to answer. What is this, where is the store going to be this year for Kids for Truth? And is there going to be 2 shifts for the store this year?
Matt. Matt's our director of Kids for Truth, Bob. Does he get a quiet seat prize? There you go.
So we are doing our store a little bit different this year. It is not going to be open during our Kids for Truth. We don't want to pull from any of the activities that we're doing with the children. It'll be open before Kids for Truth from 6:45 to 7, and then afterwards from 8:15 to 8:30. And it's going to be set up in room 101 right over here. Okay, so it's going to be in the bridge. The kids are coming into the gym for the beginning. It's going to be right there, so they don't have to go to a separate wing or anything else like that. So,
thank you. Round of applause to Matt again. That was excellent. I'm going to let Bob, do you have any closing remarks?
No, I'm great. I mean, I would say here's some awesome homework for you to go into Sunday with. Why don't you go home and read Luke 24 and think of it in terms of Jesus, the resurrected Christ, gives one final Bible lesson to his disciples. What was that lesson all about? Mm-hmm. Maybe think about if you have one lesson to give to those kids that you see on Sunday, what would that be all about?
And the other thing I want us to you know, punch down on is Wednesday night is and can become that energetic hub for our children's ministries. But it's going to have to involve our adults as well. On the way out, on that tall table over there, you'll see a sack. There, thank you, Eleanor's got it. You can be Vanna White for us and showcase our thing for it. But right there is you can register for your kids. But there is also a stack of magnets that say the theme nights for Kids for Truth during the year. Adults, you're welcome to grab one as well. In fact, if you really wanted to dress up, you know what? You can do that. We'll let you do that. But Wednesday night is really fun. And if you don't have kids in Kids for Truth, I guarantee you have a neighbor who has kids that could otherwise be Kids in Truth. Grab some of those magnets and some of the themes that they'll be going through and invite people to come. There's also going to be, first Wednesday every month, there's going to be a meal, a low-cost meal. People can come right from work, come right here on Wednesday night. They can eat the meal. You know, you can just say, Mom can just take kids right here. Dad, come right from work. You know, right in your work clothes. We don't care. And just come eat your food and come join us. And then we'll be joining us in the adult study. We'll do kind of an inductive thing that I've been looking forward to and really excited to do, kind of showing you how to read the Bible for yourself and journaling through James is what we're going to call it the first time. We'll go through other books as well, but we'll go through James first. So there's a lot going on, and I didn't even mention youth group. So like you got teens, there's a lot of exciting things for teens. One minor change for the teen group. Before, I'll go ahead and mention, a lot of times we'd have the teens be in Kids for Truth the entire time. Well, we do want to use the teens for Kids for Truth. They will be there in the opening time. Then they'll go up and join the youth group. And the reason for that is I can't ask Jordan to build his youth group while simultaneously taking away some of his key leaders for the entire Wednesday night. So we want to be able to give them an opportunity to serve. But I'll tell you, it is harder to serve your peers, is it not? Than people younger than you. And so those leaders need to learn also to serve their peers in the youth group. So we're excited about what's going on in there. You might as well call, and it will be referred to this, Wednesday night our family night at church. Because we will have something for every age group. And if you're missing Wednesday night, you're missing something huge. And as far as my prayer request is concerned, and I don't mind you pray it with me, there is no reason at all why we shouldn't have the same number of people on Wednesday night as we have on Sunday morning. There is no reason. And you say, yeah, well, you had that at your old church, so that's what you expected. When I came to our church in Florida, my first Wednesday night, I spoke to 12 adults. And then we had a group of about a dozen for our Awana program. That's it. So it can happen, and it should happen, and I'll tell you why it should happen. Because God wants it to happen. Think about it, guys. What is more important? Do you have anything more important to do than learn about God and worship with brothers and sisters in Christ?
Nope.
I don't have anything more important.
Amen.
So I think come on Wednesday night and come on Sunday morning and tell people, hey, if you're missing this, you're missing a great deal. And it's not that we come to people, by the way, on Sunday that only go on Sunday morning and say, man, I wish you would just be more than a Sunday morning only church member. You could say it that way, or you could say, you know what you're missing when you only come to church once a week? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, it is exciting. We learn about God. Your kids will learn about God. Your teens will learn about God. Join us. So my mission to you is join us. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because probably the crowd that comes on Saturday will come on Wednesday. So go tell the other people that aren't here that we have something worth going to. And I'm excited about what we're doing. Jordan, you want to close us in prayer?
I will. God, thank you for...